Ms. Scott, sorry.
May it please this court. My name is Jubal Scott. I represent Mr. Boyd, the appellant in this case. The issue for today is whether or not the District Court for the Southern District of Indiana erred when it applied a four-level sentencing enhancement for possessing a firearm while in the commission of another felony pursuant to United States Sentencing Guideline Section 2K2.1B5 when it sentenced Mr. Boyd. The four-level enhancement was erroneously applied because in order for a person to be convicted of criminal recklessness as a felony under Indiana law, a person must have created a substantial risk of bodily harm to another person. On October 25, 2005, at approximately 3 o'clock in the morning, in the vicinity of the government nightclub, which is located in downtown Indianapolis, Indiana, officers heard gunshots north of their location. They responded to those gunshots, headed toward that location, and saw Mr. Boyd running toward the front passenger side of a green Yukon vehicle in an alleyway at the rear of the nightclub. They saw Mr. Boyd toss something into the passenger side of the vehicle, and when they looked into the vehicle, they saw FN Herstal pistol found on the floorboard. Six shell casings were found on the street near the Yukon, and Mr. Boyd's girlfriend was the only other person that was present in the alleyway that evening. The Indiana Code indicates that there must be substantial risk of bodily injury to another person when deciding whether or not a person has committed criminal recklessness as a felony. However, the Indiana Code does not go further to define what substantial means. When looking to the definition of substantial, as it is stated in the Indiana Code, one must look to the Indiana cases to determine whether or not a substantial risk of harm actually exists. In the Indiana cases, when looking at Elliott versus State and other similar case law, states that a substantial risk exists when there is substance and or actual harm. In Elliott versus State, the Indiana Court of Appeals decided that there was not a substance or actual harm that existed for Mr. Elliott. In the case, the situation in Elliott is very similar to Mr. Boyd's case, so I will try to draw parallels between that case and the instant case if I can. Mr. Elliott was having lunch with some friends. He had had a couple of drinks, and with three coworkers on the edge of a rural area in Indiana, not in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's not a rural area, right?
Your Honor, no, it is not a rural area.
Anything more reckless than firing a gun wildly in a downtown of a big city?
Your Honor, this is a little bit different than firing it in the midst of a downtown in a big city. And the reason why is because this happened in an area that was remote. There was no one else in the alleyway area. This was not done in the middle.
No buildings anywhere near the alley?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
No buildings? Couldn't have gone through the window of a building?
Your Honor, this is not a residential area, and this is 3 o'clock in the morning. And so while there are buildings in the area, it is not likely, in fact, it's very unlikely that persons would be inside
and
the building.
No ricochet is possible.
Ricochet?
Your Honor, in the area where the gunshots were fired, it is a remote area isolated from where any other persons were. And if you look at the case law,
bullet could go a mile, probably, right?
Your Honor, anything is possible. Just as in the Elliott case, it is possible that there could have been
killed by stray shots.
Your Honor, just as in the Elliott case, there could have been a hunter in the wooded area. It was an area where people did frequently hunt. However, the court said that the risk must be actual risk of harm. You can't.
The city is much more densely populated.
Your Honor, in the area that this particular instance,
this bullet can go a mile at least, probably more.
Your Honor, the gun was fired straight into the air, which is,
yeah, and it comes down, right? It's not going to go to the moon.
Yes, Your Honor, that's absolutely correct. The bullet will not go to the moon. However, the issue, as if you look in Elliott and in distinguishing Elliott from Wood versus State, which is another Indiana case where the court found that there was actual risk of harm, that was fired in a residential area where there were people in the vicinity, children playing, persons on porches, people who could have actually been harmed by a stray bullet. If you look at Up versus State of Indiana, it is similar in that the the gun, the bullet was fired at the at a person's foot.
When he began shooting, weren't there people nearby?
No, Your Honor, there were not. It was in a
not
remote.
Not at any time?
No, Your Honor, there was not. And there is no evidence that has ever been put into the record that there were people inside the alleyway, aside from himself and his girlfriend, which would be similar to the Elliott case where Mr. Elliott was in the vicinity, was in the lot with three of his coworkers. It is the exact same situation as Elliott, aside from the fact that here you're in a remote alleyway in the city, and there you're in a rural area where people hunt. The issue isn't whether or not there could have been someone, but whether or not there was an actual risk of harm.
What a remote area in Indianapolis.
Your Honor, there are remote areas in Indianapolis. There are areas that
what
are...
What does that mean?
Remote?
A remote area in a city.
Well, an area that's not heavily populated, where the court has distinguished the actual risk of harm, Your Honor, it appears is that whether or not there were people
The problem with continuing to call it remote is that there's no such thing as a remote alley. An alley is defined as a narrow space surrounded by buildings. You cannot logically have a remote alley. To be in an alley is to be in the middle of a city.
Okay, Your Honor, perhaps remote, pursuant to the Webster's definition, is not the way that it should be listed, but by alleyway and by remote, it's meant to imply that there was no one in the alley, so perhaps
that's not
unpopulated.
Didn't the judge specifically find that there were some people in the area outside?
Your Honor, the judge did not make a finding as to whether or not there were people in the
alley. Did you challenge, then, the government's brief, which reads... regarding the number of people in the area, but found that at least some of the patrons of the nightclub were in the area outside and that the defendant and his girlfriend were also there.
In the area outside the nightclub, meaning
yes.
Not in the alleyway, Your Honor.
But we're speaking about in the area. We didn't say near the nightclub or near the bar or near the open field, but they were nearby. And that's what the judge found. Isn't that true?
Your Honor, the judge found that there were persons exiting the nightclub, yes, but not persons exiting the nightclub and in the area of the and in the alleyway. That is not what the judge found.
How far away could they be? I don't understand.
Well, the way that the club is situated, they wouldn't have been in the exact area of the alleyway. There's an exit to on the Market Street entrance, and the club is located at 200 East Market Street. They would have come from that entrance. This would be at the rear of the club in the alleyway.
How far is this club from Monument Circle?
The club is approximately 2 or 3 blocks from Monument Circle. However, Your Honor...
Monument Circle is the heart of Indianapolis,
right? Smack downtown Indianapolis.
However, Your Honors, I would like to note that in Monument Circle is not heavily occupied at 3 o'clock in the morning on the weekend, and in fact, it's closed
down. Yeah, logically, you can imagine it's not heavily occupied if there are people discharging firearms in the alleys.
Understanding that, Your Honor, it's still, if you look at it, is directly in line with the Elliott case, where the court found that if there is not an actual risk of harm to someone, then criminal recklessness with a weapon as a felony pursuant to Indiana law, the facts of this case do not fall in line with the current case law that rules that particular statute. It is distinctly different from Woods versus State, where the Indiana Court of Appeals stated that there was criminal recklessness was upheld because there was an actual risk of harm to persons. It is distinctly different than Up versus State, where the Court of Appeals stated that there was an actual risk of persons. And the reason why is because there was an actual person that could have been impacted by the bullet. That is not the case here, and that is why we ask that you reverse the ruling of the district court and remand it back to that court for further proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. Mr. Ong?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Winfield Ong for the United States. The court emphasized several factors.
What about Judge Coffey's question? Were there people in the area or what?
Yes, Your Honor. I think the court did find that there were people in the area. There was a dispute of fact at the hearing as to exactly how many the police had reported, as many as 300 people, that in fact the nightclub was exiting, closing at this time.
You know, it'd be useful in a case like this to put a map in the brief, right? Very simple. Where is it in Indianapolis? What's the relation between the main entrance and the alley? Right? Wouldn't that be a lot simpler?
It would, Your Honor. That occurred to me after the fact, and I apologize. Perhaps not unusual, after arguing the case and looking back at it, there were parts of the record I would have developed differently, and a map would have been very helpful, I agree. The court did find, and I don't think it was disputed, that this is downtown Indianapolis in a dense urban area.
Is there an exit on the alley or what? What is the relation between the alley and the entrance? Does the nightclub have one entrance, so people are pouring out on Market Street and the alley is behind it, or what?
Yes, the alley. I do think there was a pretty clear description of the geographic area offered by the ATF agent, that the alley runs north and south, that the exits from the nightclub were at the north and south ends of the nightclub. And this alley was, we did not dispute, vacant.
The alley is on the side, so the people are coming out the front and the alley is on. And he runs around and starts shooting?
Shooting in this alley.
Why is he shooting? Sheer exuberance? Or?
The judge asked the defendant's girlfriend point blank that question, and she was unable to answer it. I think that's the surmise, that it was a matter of sheer exuberance. The court also emphasized that there were, it was undisputed that there were people in the area. Even the defendant's own evidence suggested that there were people in front of the nightclub. The number of people was disputed, but they did not, could not dispute that they were unaware of how many people had exited the rear and might be in the alley. Bless you. In the behind the nightclub, so the police officers' evidence that there were people in the back as well was undisputed. However, in any case, there were people in the area, and I think it's important to recognize too that the defendant's girlfriend is standing right there. She is not somehow immunized from substantial risk of bodily harm simply because she is the defendant's girlfriend, and a possible ricochet, and she was probably in as much or more danger than anybody else in the area, and that would certainly suffice to support a finding of criminal recklessness. The high-rise buildings was also in the record, that this was an area surrounded by high-rise buildings.
Now, what's this Herstal gun? That's some special high-velocity gun, fires rifle ammunition. What's that about?
Well, I think the point was that it was a gun that the velocity, bullets of which, if a ricochet were to have occurred, or could have traveled a great deal, putting people.
Is it different from an ordinary pistol?
I think only in that it has a particularly strong discharge and can fire armor-piercing bullet at a higher velocity.
What kind of ammunition did he have in his gun?
Well, I'm not sure it was in the record. I think it was the armor-piercing.
He did have the armor-piercing, yeah.
And also that the bullets were found that had been discharged in a scattered row, haphazard pattern. The judge found on the record and was supported by the evidence over approximately 50 feet. The shell casings were found indicating that it was a random sort of firing that the defendant was doing. All these were things the judge relied upon and were not clear error for her to reasonably decide that it was reasonable that Artemis Boyd had committed criminal recklessness while he was possessing the firearm. I'd suggest that one of the best points for the government is that the defense did an excellent job of developing the best possible record, trying to liken this alley, otherwise vacant beside the girlfriend, to the woodland behind the house in Elliott. However, The court found against them, I think amply supported by the evidence. And I'd suggest that even the Elliott case supports the government. In the tone of the Elliott case, I think, shows that the appellate court in Indiana was going to great lengths to emphasize that there was not a single shred of evidence that anybody was nearby, that is, in front of the shooter, and also emphasized that the people that were with the shooter, the evidence showed, were behind him. And I think the Court of Appeals found those were critical facts. None of those facts were present here to analogize the alley to the woodland that was present in Elliott. That's all the government had, Your Honors.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Hong. Ms. Scott, how much time does she have? 1 minute?
Your Honors, if I could please note that on page 56 of the transcript, the court said that there was no precise finding as to how many people were in the area because the evidence was unclear to the judge as to exactly where people were and whether or not they were present in that vicinity. Although the government offered evidence that there were people in the back and they state that it was undisputed, that is in fact not true. And the only persons that were present in the courtroom during the sentencing that were also present on the evening of October 25th were my client and his girlfriend, and both of them stated that there were no other persons in that alleyway. The ATF agent...
Did the nightclub close at 3 a.m. or something? Is that why he left then, or was it still open, or what?
Your Honor, the nightclubs in Indianapolis closed at approximately that time. The nightclub had not
closed. People leaving at the same time he was?
Your Honor, at the time they left the nightclub, it had not closed. The music was still, it was still in session, but people...
People were beginning to leave.
Yes, Your Honor. That is correct. The ATF agent was not present. I'm sorry, my time has expired. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Scott. And so thank you. Thanks to the defenders for... case and with such energy. So.